everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Jason Wester. Jason is the superintendent of West Burlington ISD, which is in West Burlington, Iowa. Jason, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on and tell our story about how we're working to change the school experience for students in the West Burlington Independent School District, and recognizing that how we prepare kids today for life after high school is completely different than when a lot of us went through school, where the only definition of success was going to college. And so we've recognized that changing landscape, and we've really worked hard over the past year or so to pivot and change those outcomes for our graduating seniors and for the kids as they go through our system.
That's fantastic. So tell me, how did this come about? Was this a product of the pandemic? Was it just something that you guys, how did you start developing this? Can you give me a little bit of background
It really started through conversations with our community stakeholders, our business leaders, our Chamber of Commerce, our workforce development, our Iowa workforce, and also our post-secondary Regent universities, as well as our community colleges, is about what success looks like. And as the landscape of success after high school has changed into how do we determine if a student is successful, has pivoted from going to a college or into the workforce to multiple opportunities or multiple pathways, whether it's a community college and working on a career prep program like in nursing or dental hygienist or any of those vet tech, or if it's going into the workplace as an apprentice, as an electrician, as a carpenter, as a builder, as a mason, any of those things, but also knowing that there are also pathways to success if you go to a four-year university or a community mm-hmm. college. And knowing that we have a great partnership with our local community college, which is only a mile and a half down the road, we're able to offer some college credit while students are still in high school. So we're taking some of that heavy lift as education cost rises, taking some of that heavy lift off of families and students. So when they do graduate high school, our students have the ability to graduate with an AA and go into university if they so choose as a junior with the school district and being able to pay for a lot of those costs.
That's fantastic. That is really an amazing thing. I can't imagine if we had had something like that. I didn't get my degree. I didn't finish my degree till I was 26. I was one of those, I don't know what I want to do. Went for a year, quit for a year, went back for a year, quit for another year. And then when I was a little bit more mature, I got to the place where I wanted, and then it was 5 years straight. Totally get, not really, you know, and that was in the 80s, you know, so that's 30 plus years ago. I'm aging myself now.
It's a long time ago. I'm in the same boat. I've been in education for close to 30 years, and just watching how things have changed and continue to keep that focus on what's best for kids and how do we provide a high quality learning experience. But I think that if the pandemic taught us anything, it's that we can't just focus on academics, that we have to focus on the whole child. And so I think a lot of those, as we look at that portrait, we were oftentimes trying to put a square peg in a round hole and make everybody fit our definition of success. But I think through that pandemic, we realized that there are multiple pathways to success, but we also need to focus not only on a student's academic health, but also their social and emotional health. And when we focused on developing our portrait of a graduate, which really identifies the skills and our competencies and skills that we feel with community input, that it allows our students to graduate and walk across our stage and meet our tagline of our mission statement, that every learner is prepared with the skills and character needed to lead a great life of purpose. And that great life of purpose could mean a number of different things depending on the individual and what their needs, desires, and skills or interests are.
Right. That's fantastic. I love that. I love that mission because it takes it down to the student level. It's not what do we as educators want for our kids or what do we as parents want for our kids? Because, you know, parents do the same thing. But where is that child going to be the most successful? And I'm assuming, but you should never assume. Mama told me never to assume.
Right. We all know what happens when you assume.
Right. Exactly. So does it start from kindergarten? How do you guys have it defined for that child? Because, you know, it's education starts at home and then from there it goes.
Sure. So the competencies that we've identified, and then we'll back map it from there, is that we want all students to be academically prepared learners. You're going to be shocked as you hear the rest of them, but that's the only one that focuses on content knowledge. We want career-focused individuals. We want critical thinkers and creative problem solvers. We want citizens of character and well-being, and we want effective communicators and collaborators. And we developed and identified those competencies based on student, staff, parent, and community feedback. And we really then highlighted what those look like. But then we also know that we identified gateways because we know that the lift of getting these competencies, students proficient in these competencies, can't just rest on our high school teachers. It is what does this look like at, we identified gateways. So we identified a pre-K-2 gateway, so preschool through second grade,
right,
and then a third through fifth grade gateway, or third through fourth, and then a fifth, sixth, seven, eight, and then a 9-12. And so going back and developing performance indicators for each one of those competencies at that gateway, and then what does done look like? So we know that probably a lot of those pre-K-2 learners are going to need support in all of those areas to be proficient. I mean, they're not going to be proficient because this is a continuum of learning instead of being done. But there should be a done at each level. So we've spent a lot of time looking and identifying what done looks like at each one of those gateways. And then finally, using that I can statement format to say at this gateway, 3-4, I can do this, and this is what done looks like. And then 5-6, this is what done looks like. And so for each one of our competencies, we've created performance indicators at each gate for each gateway.
Fantastic. That sounds great. And what has your parents, I mean, I touched on parents. Let's talk about parents. What has their response been to this program?
And it's been really positive. We just hosted a lunch and learn a couple of weeks ago for some families, community leaders, partners in education from our local community college, clergy from the community, business leaders, and saying, this is the work we've got done so far. And we still want feedback because as educators, we speak a different language and we have these ideals that we think are important. But you know what? We've got somebody that is a business leader or a chamber president or an insurance agent that says, you know what? That sounds good in the context of school, but in the context of the real world, this is probably what done looks like. So we're taking that feedback back to our teams that are working on each one of these competencies to use that feedback to make it better. And our idea is that not this year, but the following year, that a portfolio of learning will be part of a graduation requirement. So a student throughout their high school career will choose artifacts that will identify proficiency in each one of those competencies. And by the time they're a senior, they will select, just like if you're getting your doctorate, they will select a review committee that they'll defend their portfolio to.
Oh,
and then they'll stamp it with that seal of that portrait, and they'll have that distinction at graduation that they've met all the core requirements of being proficient in all the competencies that we've identified as important to have them.
You're teaching
lead a great life of purpose, filled with purpose.
And apologetics. You're teaching them apologetics, how to defend what they believe. That's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. And it really ties into actually our some of those competencies with being an effective communicator and a critical thinker. I mean,
right.
So we want them to be able to defend what they've identified, even though they've gotten feedback along the way. what is an exemplar of academically prepared learner or a career-focused individual? So what type of, maybe they have a write-up of a work-based learning experience they had as an apprentice over in a welding shop, and they can bring that back, and they could have their end of term performance review by their employer or their partner, and they can use that as one of their artifacts to defend that career-focused individual.
Right. Real world right. kinds of things. It's amazing. That is amazing. Okay. So what do you do? And when you have, because there's, I love the pathways and it's right. individualized. I love that. So how do you address, I'm a speech therapist. So right. how do you address special education and how do you address gifted and talented? How does that weave into, I know you guys have thought about it, so I'm just curious.
And I think that, again, what done looks like is unique for yeah. the individual.
That, I love that.
When we talk about personalized learning, that how do we have stretch goals? Like, we've identified what a 1, 2, 3, and 4 looks like. And what they've done is moved on up on the cognitive complexity for the performance. So individuals can work with a teacher to say, you know what, I'm a gifted, if they're in the gifted program or whatever, that, you know, maybe what that performance indicator or looks like is a bit more challenging and moves up on Webb's depth of knowledge or Bloom's taxonomy, that what are they going to analyze or create something new rather than respond or moving down on the lower, on the complexity level. So I think it will be individualized. And again, just like with anything in IEP, we'll look at the goals and where those learning disabilities may apply, and then scaffold back or up related to where they may have their need or identified learning disability.
It's fantastic. One of the things as an SLP that I always did, especially with my kids that I knew understood goals, is I gave them their goals. I'm like, look, here is what your IEP says, you know, no matter what age they are. Some of the younger ones, you know, you had to be really simplistic, but helping them to understand what they need to do to get to where they need to go. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're giving these children a pathway and goals and ways to get there. And that, I love it. I love it.
I think too many times in education, we've like hidden the target. And I think most kids can hit the target if they know what it is. And that's why it's so important that when you go into a classroom for observation, that you can look up on the board and see what the learning targets in literacy and numeracy, what are the learning targets, what are those standards that they're supposed to be learning about. And as I have a conversation with a student, they should be able to identify to me what they're learning about today, what they are. And that those learning targets should be focused in kid-friendly language. You know what? I'm learning to identify who this story is about. So like main character. And so I think it's really important that as we go through, teachers are able to call out, this is the competency or this is a skill that we are working on today and as it relates to our portrait of a graduate. I think that the more explicit we can be with our instruction and what they're supposed to be learning, the more they can key in on some of those, the context of the lesson going on that day.
And not just test scores, right? Not just test scores. Fantastic. So have you seen in your staff, have you seen an increase in people's willingness to come to work for you guys? Because I mean, man, this is a place I'd want to work for sure.
We're only in the infancy stage. Okay. I mean, we're developing those gateways. And right now, the last year was the board adoption of this portrait. Okay. This year is the work. So we've seen people in the classroom calling out these competencies as we have our senior awards night, that some of those awards that when we make up our program, we're going to list the skills or the competencies under each one of those awards that they exhibited in order to achieve this scholarship or this recognition or these Silver Cord hours or so forth. So I think we're transitioning, and as we become, and that becomes part of the portfolio for graduation, I think that it will be publicized more. It's on our website, and we have conversations internally, but to scale it, and as we get our first graduates that go through with that seal or that stamp or that recognition of proficiency and all of those competencies, I think that's where we're going to really be able to leverage it as a recruiting tool.
Yes, that's fantastic. That is really fantastic. I would love to, we need to come back to you and when you feel like you're like there,
for sure,
when you've reached, I'd love to have interviewing you again and go through.
To have a student on that has gone through and be able to talk about their portfolio, because as we shift that load and that agency from adult to learner, we really need to have those students be able to articulate their experience as they go through our system.
Yeah, so,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. That is, I'm really excited for you. I'm excited for your students. I'm excited that I was able to bring you on to talk about what you guys are
Thank
doing
you.
Because that,
we're,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
we're super excited. Anytime we get to tell our story and talk about the hard work our staff is doing to provide and enhance the educational experience for our students, it's a great opportunity to get out there and highlight the great work they're doing, because there's a lot of heavy lifts along the way, and there's often not enough time to be able to recognize the work that people are doing. But when we get that opportunity, we should shout it from the rooftop.
Absolutely. 100%. And we are definitely. And that's the point of the Brighter Together podcast, because we are brighter together when we serve the kids. And I love that. This is the epitome of what Brighter Together is trying to do, is to really, and thank you. Thank you for being willing to come on and tell this story, because it really just, it solidifies exactly what we're trying to do and give back to the schools that are just doing all of the hard work. We get beat up so bad in education, and to highlight what's happening is fantastic. So I have one last question for you, and I ask this of every guest. So, and it's just a, it, and anyway, I'll ask it. If you could miraculously solve one challenge in the school, what would you solve?
I would say the one thing that I would challenge is solve is the stigma associated with mental health, both for staff and students. It's shifting a little bit for kids, but I don't know that we've completely shifted and taken the stigma off of some of the mental health challenges that the adults in the educational workforce fall under, that it's not an easy job, and it's a job that everybody in their role within the system has received specialized training, but we have a lot of armchair quarterbacks out there that put undue pressure on our educators and our leaders, and I think those challenges are exacerbated by some of the attacks that the public education system has come under, and it's not easy. So I think that if we could, if I could wave a magic wand, I would do so in support of our teachers and our school leaders and our staff as it relates to the stigma associated with some of the mental health challenges and social emotional challenges that we face today in education.
Excellent answer. Excellent answers. I ask that question because I always get such amazing responses from people. It just is the passion that we as educators have and what you're doing. I mean, it's just blaringly obvious. Well, Jason, I wish we had more time. This has been
it was awesome. So maybe next time when you transition to that long form podcast, we can have an extended conversation.
You're determined to get me there, aren't you?
just a nudge.
Just a nudge. Okay. So where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about this program, about you, about your school, about coming to work for you? I know I would be excited if I was looking for a job. So.
Yeah, if they just Google the West Burlington Independent School District in Iowa, it will take us right to your website. It talks about employment opportunities. It talks about our portrait of a graduate. It talks about and highlights a number of other great things that are going on in our school community and the community at large.
Awesome. Well, Jason, thanks again. It was great having you. And I look forward to having you back. I really do.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.